Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Oh!
Welcome to the show that is without its fearless leader. It's first things first.
You're the real bad boy.
No, I'm not. I don't like
now
that.
Now we really have the
that.
Bad boy
I didn't
host.
Like when Wilds was doing it. I'm not doing it. On today's show, Brew, Jason Tatum announces he's LaBob. Larry O'Brien or bust. He says he's only judged if he can bring a championship to Boston. Is it officially title or bust for Jason Tatum? Also, despite a historic collapse, the Eagles decided to bring back Nick Sirianni and his sideline antics. Does Philly just need to make sure his babysitter is back to guarantee success? And finally, it's Thursday, which means it's the most motivational segment in sports television. It's the Bud List. I'm Nick Wright. He's Chris Broussard. Brew, anyone on the bubble Bud List?
Yeah, you know, Giannis.
Oh.
Giannis almost. Milwaukee has a host of bubble
people. Yeah.
Coaches, players, yeah. All of them.
Anyone that wanted to talk to Doc Rivers that didn't get the interview, they're on the Bud List as well. All it took was Wilds not being here. You have a great answer. All right, to the NBA. Gets back going tonight. Warriors, Lakers, and LeBron has been ruled out tonight against the Warriors to rest his left ankle injury. He had 8 points in 14 minutes in the All-Star game on Sunday. Warriors are now 5.5-point favorites tonight. Brew, LeBron has not missed much time this year, especially compared to his other years with the Lakers. Every year it was 25-plus games except for the championship season where they, of course, had the long pandemic-induced break in the middle. Are you surprised he's not playing tonight?
A little bit, because I just saw him playing in the All-Star game. I know he only played the first half, 14 minutes, but yes, because he sat out the game before the All-Star break, played 14 minutes in the All-Star game, and now he's sitting out. It's not a good look.
Oh.
It's not a good look.
So I think it's the exact opposite.
You think it's a good look?
I think that – so you go ahead and finish, because my takeaway is about the All-Star game as well. But
well,
in a
and
totally
that wasn't a good
direction.
Look for sure, but I'm just saying, like – yeah, to miss that game, the last game of the break, before the break, then playing the All-Star game, now misses. Not a good look. One, because it looks like, oh, he actually could play tonight. Now, I know he doesn't play a lot of back-to-backs, so is he playing tomorrow when they face San Antonio? That would be different. But that's not good. And for the league, Nick, this has been something that's bedeviled the league for the last few years, is your big names missing these huge games. I'll be honest. Tonight, I was, like, really looking forward to this game because I wanted to measure the Lakers, and they've been playing well with AD, and D'Angelo Russell's playing well, Austin Reeves. Like, they got it going lately. They're not just winning. They're playing great offense, like – Austin's averaging 17, yep. D'Angelo's at 20, LeBron and AD around 24, against the Warriors, who've been playing well as well. So I really wanted to gauge it. Now you can't gauge it because LeBron's not there. So that said, quickly, I give LeBron a pass this year, this whole year. He's 39, he's in his 21st season.
Yeah.
I don't mind if he load manages. So I'm not, like, all up in arms about it like I might be about somebody else. But it doesn't look good because people saw him out there in Austin.
Okay, so on the LeBron getting a pass and other guys not, listen, Kobe, Dirk, and Duncan are 4th, 5th, and 6th all time in minutes played, playoffs and regular season.
Okay.
They are all 10,000 shy of where LeBron is right now. Giannis and Steph's career minutes combined is shy of LeBron right now. Jimmy Butler and Dame, kind of older players, combined are less than LeBron right now. So yeah, if there's anyone entitled to take days off, and as we showed, he hasn't taken much off this year compared to previous seasons. Here's where, and I didn't know what you were going to say. Here's where we both thought of the All-Star game, but I thought of it in a totally different context. This makes me angrier at all the guys who didn't give a damn about the game. Because I don't think LeBron is, you know, milking an injury. I think LeBron is dinged and was why he missed the game before the All-Star game, why he missed this one. And I think he understood, you know what? Despite the fact that I'm in year 21 and I'm injured, or not injured is too strong. You know what I mean? Not 100%.
I'm hampered,
That we are an entertainment product for the fans. And I have an obligation to go out there and at least temporarily put on a show at the All-Star game. I am the standard bearer of the league. And so the fact that LeBron, maybe if he didn't play in the All-Star game, he could have played tonight. I think for the overall health of the league, that's a good trade-off. And maybe, and so
it could have been had they all bought in. And look,
Well, that's kind of my point.
Even though
now
LeBron
it feels like
is,
it's for nothing because the All-Star game itself ended up being a joke.
And maybe to your point, maybe he's like, at halftime, like, I went out there. I mean, 14 minutes is not five minutes.
Right?
He played, and he's like, this is what we're doing.
Right.
So then he sat out. So I feel you on that, and I agree. I would like LeBron. Now, again, these dudes might not have listened, but had he done a speech maybe before the game, all the players like, look – and because LeBron has been in the league and in the All-Star game when it was taken fairly seriously, and they had some competitive games, and now he's been several years of this. He could say to them, you know, talk about the difference and why they owe it to the fans to go out there. Now, they might not listen because even though he's LeBron and he's all-time great, you don't know what these guys are listening to, but still, I'd like to hear him say
it. You saw, you know, that guys did go into the locker room and say that beforehand, and one of them was Andre Iguodala, who came into the league after LeBron.
Right.
He's a little bit older than LeBron, but
crazy.
He came into the league, and Larry Bird as well, and
they didn't listen to Bird.
They didn't listen. The shame of it is, Warriors-Lakers, the last time they played, might have been the game of the year so far in the NBA.
Yep,
it's certainly
awesome.
On the very short list, and we don't know how many more Steph versus LeBron we are getting. We got, you know, obviously we got it in four finals.
Yep.
We got it in the playoffs last year. We got it in the play-in a couple years ago. And those are always going to be more meaningful. We might get in the play-in again this year. More meaningful.
I don't want them in the play-in. Do you want them playing each other?
I would prefer,
I want them in the playoffs if they meet.
Yeah, but the problem is the only way that's going to be able to happen.
They'd have to both be.
They'd have to both go deep.
Probably the conference finals.
Because they're both going to be on the bottom. Right, it's not going to happen. You would have needed one of these teams to be playing really well. All right, so let's keep going with the Warriors-Lakers, sticking with tonight's game. Updated odds to make the playoffs. They're neck and neck. The Lakers are the 9 seed. They're plus 102. The Warriors are the 10 seed. They're plus 114. And just so everyone understands, for those odds and for our discussion, making the playoffs means when the bracket is what it used to be, when we're down to 8 teams in each conference and it's best of 7s. That
so
is
you got to win the play-in.
You either have to be in the top 6 or get in from the play-in. Who needs to make the playoffs more? LeBron or Steph Curry?
I'm intrigued at what you're going to say because I'm really looking forward to this discussion.
Yeah.
It's LeBron, no doubt about it.
Wow.
All right, no doubt about it.
Nick, wow.
Any who needs it more question when it involves winning with LeBron and Steph is LeBron.
Why?
For many reasons, in my view. Number one, as great as Steph is, LeBron's better.
Of course.
And LeBron is the one in the GOAT conversation. So any achievements that he has are potential arguments for him in the GOAT conversation. I mean, that's really how we view it. Like, if they make the playoffs, those in the LeBron camp can say, LeBron made the playoffs at 39
And what will the Jordan camp say?
Jordan didn't have Anthony Davis.
Right, exactly.
but you know what I'm saying? Like, LeBron is still building a case for the GOAT. Now, and on the other hand, Steph has all – now, you can say LeBron – I don't know if we say he overachieved because obviously so much was expected of him. He certainly didn't underachieve. He either met what was expected, which was arguably the best ever, or he overachieved. But Steph has overachieved by a mile already.
Yeah.
Steph Curry, and not just because, Nick, he played at Davidson and was a mid-lottery pick. Mm-hmm. It's because his size.
He's small.
For any player his size, he has far outlasted what would be expected. Steph Curry is the only player, and this is the part I know you'll love this discussion. He is the only player under 6'6 to be the centerpiece of a dynasty. You had George Mikan, Bill Russell, Magic and Bird, if you call the Celtics a dynasty, Magic and Kareem, and then Bird with the Celtics, Jordan, Kobe, Shaq, Tim Duncan, and the Warriors.
Yep.
And Steph, of course, is the only, he's 6'2". When Jordan did it at 6'6", that defied conventional wisdom. Like, you can't have a dynasty with your best player as a two guard. Jordan did that, and now Steph's done it as a small point guard. Isaiah Thomas, a mini dynasty.
Right.
Right.
Well, yeah, I think you can take it. I think you can take it even further, Brew. Steph is one of only two guys, he and Isaiah, under 6'6", to be the unquestioned best player on a champion. That's just a champion. Like I mean, Bob Cousy, before Russell got there, they didn't win.
I don't think they didn't win it.
No, he won league MVP. The Supersonics.
Williams, but you had Dennis Johnson.
Exactly. That's my point. So I agree with you on that. Like, the size thing is, whenever people talk about, can Jalen Brunson be the best player or champion, all these types of things, it is not knocks on these guys.
Right.
It is, we have 75 years of NBA history that says, the best guy on your team better be Michael Jordan size or bigger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kobe Bryant size or bigger, or you're cooked, except for Zeke and Steph. But the reason I totally disagree with you is because if the question is, who would a championship mean more for? Okay, then I might go LeBron. Then
that's an interesting one right there.
And that's but they are far off from it. But I think Steph is now entering, you said after the title, I don't know if it was the title, you said recently.
Fourth title?
That he was a top 10 guy.
Yeah.
Right?
It was
top
10 probably after their title, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to make a prediction about how we are going to, when people are going to rank players, the guy that Steph is going to be elbowing with, you know, going back and forth.
For top 10.
It's going to be him and Kobe. Not to be top 10, but when you're actually ranking them, like I have this guy 7, this guy 8, this guy 9, I think Bird, Kobe, and Steph are all going to be in around the same area. And Kobe and Steph have oddly similar resumes in this regard. They both have multiple championships where people are like, wasn't the best guy.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
Wasn't the best guy.
3 for Kobe,
right.
2 for Steph.
They both have at least one final series where it's like, ooh, that's a bad series. You know what I mean? That was a tough one. For Steph, it would have been 16, and for Kobe, it would be 0-4 against Detroit, right?
So and the first Celtics one wasn't great. In fact, I think Detroit, didn't he hit the game winner?
He hit the one.
Game?
And then, they have those. And the one thing that is an odd blemish on Kobe's resume that is not on the resume of any of the other guys in that pantheon is, smack dab middle of his prime, missed the playoffs entirely. That first year without Shaq. And then the next 2 years, bounced in the first round, including, right? So three straight years for Kobe, middle of his prime, didn't either miss the playoffs and get out of round one. Steph, I don't know if we're still considering this his prime, but Steph missed the playoffs, certainly in his prime, back-to-back years. Now, 1 year we throw out the broken hand.
Right.
But the next year, They were the 9 seed, lost in the play-in to LeBron. Right now, I think people still consider this the end of Steph's prime. If he misses the postseason again, I think that, you're right, he's not in the GOAT conversation. Mm. But when people are like, who would you rather have had, Bird or Steph, Kobe or Steph? I think something like, hold on a minute, you don't have to win the title, you don't have to win a round. You couldn't drag a team to the playoffs when nobody thinks the Warriors roster is trash.
Right,
so I think that's why I think for Steph, because he's younger, because he hasn't done as much, because he's already missed the playoffs when healthy in the middle of his prime, missing it again, I think, would be an odd blemish in a way it wouldn't be for year 21 LeBron.
Yeah, I mean, LeBron is I've said this, and some people might say it's not fair. But LeBron is in the stage of his career where whatever he does is icing. I don't think he can hurt his his standing.
No.
Even if they don't make the playoffs, you say, oh, he's got Anthony Davis not make the playoffs.
That's the only
he's
thing 39. That can, we know the only 21. Thing that can hurt him. Dragging them to the finals and losing. That's the only thing that can hurt LeBron is if they were to make the finals and lose.
A small-minded crowd.
Yes.
Yeah, because they would, at the end of the day, they'll say he's 4-7.
Exactly.
Or he's 4-6. Or I guess if Steph somehow miraculously won the championship, that would hurt LeBron.
Okay.
That's not something LeBron's doing, but then some people would be like, even though
Steph's
we know
era.
LeBron's better, but yeah, was it even LeBron's era? But no, I think it's, I'm surprised that you say, I mean, that's good logic. I mean, I think that's looking at it deeper than most people will. I had never thought of the Kobe versus Steph.
It's just a weird thing because Kobe
I think
has,
most of us, look, I mean, Steph's obviously far more efficient, the best shooter ever.
Right.
But Kobe, I don't think anybody right now feels like Steph is better than Kobe.
Well, but so I don't either.
The analytics crowd probably does.
No, I don't either. But I guess my point is, if you have him in the top 10, which a lot of people do, I think it's very, very hard to be like, who is better, Steph Curry or Shaquille O'Neal? Like, you almost do sinners.
Because those are the two that,
right,
in my book,
exactly.
Are kind of fighting
for. So I think that what people will do when they're doing these lists in their head, they'll ask, okay, here are the 10 best players. The centers are their own self-contained list. And then, okay, the wings. So you have LeBron, you have Jordan, you have Bird, you have Kobe, you have Steph. And, like, you know what I mean? You're ranking them like that. And they just have – Kobe has the longevity. He has, like, double the All-NBAs, if not close to triple.
Defense.
Steph has more regular season MVPs. Steph is going to have way better, like you were saying, analytics.
Yep.
And so they are going to have – an interesting resume when they both
Kobe
lost.
Could end up being, like, I don't know, we don't want to get off on a tangent. He could end up being viewed like Isaiah, where I feel like what I would say real basketball heads know how great Isaiah was and have him ranked properly.
Oh, that's interesting.
But a lot of the analytics crew don't think Isaiah was that great because his numbers analytically weren't. They got Stockton ahead of him.
I think
Nash.
Kobe is too legendary for that to have happened too. Like, like as far as in the culture and you know.
Right now.
No, that's a good point.
But 10 years from now, I just wonder.
And if people are saying, and then we'll move on. If people are saying that's crazy, that could never happen. I think there is a whole generation of people, honestly, my age and younger, that truly don't believe Isaiah Thomas was as good as he was.
Right.
And so it can happen to where a guy in the moment is considered head-to-head with all the greats, and then history remembers all those greats in a different way, and they remember him. I don't think it'll happen to Kobe, but it happens to guys. All right, let's go on to the Eastern Conference. Boston's in first, a half dozen games clear of second place Cleveland, led by Jason Tatum. Tatum says none of that matters as the Celtics are S-Bob. I'm sorry, La-Bob. Jason Tatum told The Athletic, I understand no matter what I do in the regular season, I'm at that point where people can judge me off whether I win a championship. I realize that and it's like, all right, I just got to do it. Brew, your reaction.
Well, first of all, I would say to Jason, that's a compliment.
Yeah.
When you get to the level of you got to win a championship, that's great, right? That's a burden that we only put on the best players, all right? So, number one, wear that with pride because that's a compliment to how good you are and how good people think you are. Now, I guess here will come the detraction if that was a great compliment to Jason. I think Jason Tatum, as great as he is not quite at that level where it's like, we're going to give you incredible love and praise even though you haven't won a championship. Like, Embiid, even though he struggled in the playoffs, the dude has been so good in the regular season, particularly this year, that you still give him that love and we put him on the top tier and he gets MVPs. Luka, Same thing. Like, we just know how good Luka is. So I see, like, two tracks. I see the track of you are so great that you better win a championship, because everybody that's as good as you wins a championship.
Yes.
And that's where Luka is, and maybe Embiid is. But, you know, then there's the track of you got to win a championship for us to know how great you are.
Yes.
We, even though we know you're awesome, right?
Yes.
But you won't get that love until you – that extra –
Kevin Garnett.
Yes,
Dirk,
yes.
Those
Dirk,
guys.
Dirk is the one I wrote down. That's what Dirk was.
D-Wade would have been, Dirk was but great. D-Wade won it so early, it didn't matter. But go ahead, sir.
But no, you're right. I mean, we knew how great Dirk was. Or we knew he was great. We knew he was going to be a Hall of Famer, all that. But once he won, he needed to win a championship to kind of go to that next level. Mm-hmm. And that's where Jason Tatum is. And if he does it, look, I think if he does it, then he will indeed go to that level where now he's a perennial MVP, like top of the MVP race. And so, yeah, this is a compliment to him. He's got a great chance to do it. And here's the other thing, quick, Nick. If he doesn't do it, like, there's really no excuse. Not, I know Denver's great. But
Boston's got the best roster.
They should be able to win it. If you're that guy, you should be able to win
it. So here's the thing. You're saying it's a compliment. But he's anointing it as himself. But he's also saying it about himself. Like, he is.
But it is true.
I don't think it is.
Really?
No, because because I don't think people look at Jason Tatum quite like that. So I tried to make a list. There are 10 guys in the league right now who either were, you know, in their prime or are currently the type of guy where you are supposed to win the title.
Right.
And those guys are LeBron, Steph, Durant.
Steph wasn't there.
No, I know, but I'm saying there have been at some point in their career or are right now. James Harden.
Yes, absolutely.
Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
Giannis, Joker, Luka, who has not done it, but is judged like that. Embiid, and that's 9. And this other one's projection, but I know it's how he's going to be judged. Your guy, Wimby.
Oh, yeah.
I think those are the only 10. I think there are then, I have another list, guys who we're going to see if they get to that level. These are all very young guys. Anthony Edwards.
Right.
SGA.
Right.
Halliburton. Ja. Yeah. Paolo. I'll throw in Wild's guy, Chet. Like, ooh, who knows?
Right.
Very young.
Right.
Then there's a whole other group of guys that are veterans, been in the league for a while, that we Devin all think Booker. Are awesome. Devin Booker, Dame, Anthony Davis, Jalen Brunson, Donovan Mitchell. It's like, hey, those are great players. But you are not judged, can you carry your team to a title? Because we don't think you can. And right now, I think Jason Tatum lives in that world. Now, if he wins.
So you agree with me. If he wins, now he moves up.
If he wins, he moves up. But I don't think. I think there is, oddly, even though he's younger and been in the league less and has less playoff pelts on the wall, I think there is more pressure on Luka than there is on Tatum. Because even if we can't prove to you why, I think everyone that watches basketball is like, yeah, that guy's better. Like, sorry, he's
Luka's
just better. He's just better.
But I got to be honest, I don't know how much pressure there is right now on Luka. It's going to keep ratcheting up.
Well, I don't know how much pressure there is right now on Tatum.
If they don't get out of the East, now you're right, he's not at the very tippy top tier
yet.
The
only person talking about that Jason Tatum has won the title is Jason Tatum. Nobody, and the reason this is the topic is because Jason Tatum keeps saying, I want to be the face of the league.
He got a little Embiid in him.
Right, no, and good for him. Like, I think that's good to try to speak into existence, create the pressure. But this is the life across NBA history of a guy who's around the fifth or sixth best player in the league. It's just different than the life of the guys who we think might be the best. And so, and I think that's, now Tatum wants to be the guy who could be the best.
Right.
I don't think he's in that echelon. If he wins a title, maybe.
He needs to win it.
Yeah. All right. Probably coming up next, Big Dom's absence and how that affected. I mean, give me a break, Philadelphia. Get a grown-up head coach.
Dom is tough.
Come on. Is he the key to your success? Next on the Fox Sports Radio Sirius XM.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
As we celebrate Black History Month, I'd like to celebrate an athlete from my childhood whose impact on sport, culture, and society is still being felt to this day, Florence Griffith Joyner. She's often celebrated for her bold style on the track, the flowing hair, the bright 6-inch nails, and one-legged tracksuit that she designed herself. But what should never be overlooked is her absolute dominance on the track. 3-time gold medalist, and still, to this day, holds the world record in the 100 and 200 meter sprint that she set all the way back in 1988. So this summer, when you're rooting on Sha'Carri Richardson as she crosses the finish line and hopefully secures the gold for America, remember that before her was the great Florence Griffith Joyner.
Great job, Jacoby. Appreciate that. Right back, first things first. Let's start in Philadelphia. We all remember this moment. Big Dom, Eagle security, poking Dre Greenlaw on the sidelines. It's now being reported by Derek Gunn that Dom DeSandro's role controlled Nick Sirianni's emotions on the sideline. And in his absence, Sirianni got in numerous arguments with players and coaches during games. So if you're like, what are we talking about? Think about it this way. The same way Wilds flies with an emotional support kitten, Nick Sirianni has an emotional support bodyguard. And Brew, the numbers are overwhelming. That right-hand golem is the moment that Dom got banished from the sidelines, and the whole team fell apart. So, your thoughts?
Well, first of all, the photo of Big Dom on the Eagles.com, whatever it was, I saw it, must be from about 20 years ago.
Oh,
all right,
wow.
When he first joined the team in 1999, because it looks a lot different than that dude
guy
that was on the sideline. But this, I hope this is not true.
Oh, I hope it is.
Because if Nick, if this is true, it makes Nick Sirianni look so weak, all right, that you don't know how to interact with your players and your coaches without going overboard unless you have this huge security guard there with. It's like he's your strength. He's your courage, all right? And that's why I hope it's not true. And, in fact, I don't believe this. I believe what it is people are looking at things that happen. So maybe because of the frustrations of losing, because of the pressure that was being heaped on him, because of the rumors that his job might be in trouble, he lost it. You know, he was a little more emotional. He was going after coaches or players a little more than usual. And I think they just put two and two together and said, oh, maybe it was because Dom was there. But I cannot believe, because if this is true, I don't know how long is he going to be a head coach?
Okay, so here's why I can believe it. So I'm going to give an example.
Because he's always been emotional like
right,
this. You know that.
Correct. So I'm going to give an example first, or a metaphor, I guess. Have you ever been out to eat or in somewhere with someone new? It doesn't have to be a date, just someone you're just meeting or whatever, or it's your first time out with them. And they are rude or just treat poorly or speak down to the waiter or the service person.
Okay.
That, to me, I don't know about you, but I'm guessing we're in lockstep on this, that tells you an immense amount about who that person is.
Right.
That
Absolutely.
Tells you so much more than what they do for a living, how much money they make. You're like, oh, that's the type of person you are.
Right.
So I'm not saying that all I needed to see was this moment 2 years ago. But when you're a second-year head coach in the playoffs and your team is rolling and you catch a camera and you say, oh, yeah, it's Big Nicky time. I'm telling you right now. And then in the Super Bowl a week later, when you're signaling first down and Jalen Hurts, that's how you stop. And then right before your big teddy bear gets banned, you're yelling at Chiefs fans. I know who you are. You're a guy who cannot control his emotions. That's who it is. That is, if we were to say.
But he's doing that with Dom there or not there.
Yes.
And everybody loved, you didn't love it. I give you credit. You've never loved it.
Yes.
But most people loved it when they were winning.
Right. But my point is this. If you are that guy, then do I find it believable that you might be that guy at all times, even towards your own players or personnel when you shouldn't be, and somebody has to kind of keep you in check? Yeah, I buy it. I buy it a lot more than if this report was out there about any other coach in the league. And does that make sense? Because this guy has,
to me, his
a track record that he's kind of acts like a knucklehead. So I'm going to go back to what we were talking about with Philadelphia right when the season ended. I think one of the biggest mistakes any team has made in the NFL over the last half decade is going to prove to be Philadelphia not trying to replace him with Bill Belichick.
Wow.
I think that you had an opportunity to hire the greatest coach of all time, whose one weakness is personnel. Acquisition.
Right.
The team is mostly in set already. Right. You have high draft picks underperforming on defense. You have as talented of an offense, as personnel-wise, of anybody. You could plug Bill in because, to me, now you're going to end up firing Nick Sirianni eventually, and you're not going to hire, I guess maybe Belichick's still available, so maybe you could hire him at some point.
Look, I'm not going to sit here and say, we talked about it ad nauseum during the playoffs. Yeah, Belichick would have been great in Philadelphia.
Yes.
There's no doubt about it. All you got to do is strengthen the defense. You got the offense there. But I'm not convinced Nick Sirianni. I think he's a good coach. The proof's in the pudding. Now, you can not like his personality and the way he acts and all that, but he has gotten results. Last year was obviously a bad year. It sounds stupid to say they still won 11 games because it was all basically at the beginning. But I think they can bounce back from it. I have not – in fact, Nick, correct me if you saw differently. I was seeing articles and players back Nick Sirianni. Now, you might say they're just saying that on the record, but I saw a lot of players standing up for him.
No, and I saw that too.
Yeah, so I'm not ready to say the dude can't coach. I think he's done a good job. He is emotional. But I think it was more probably the pressure of the situation that got to him than losing Big Dom.
Man, we spend so much time over these next 7 months. We're going to spend so much time breaking down every free agent acquisition, every draft pick. And the two most significant moments this NFL season might have been a punt in the Super Bowl that hit the 53rd man on a roster and leg, and a security guard not being able to control himself, getting thrown off the sideline for getting in an argument with Dre Greenlaw. All right. Let's go over to Buffalo. The Bills are now the betting favorites to keep Stephon Diggs. Diggs, for the season, has pretty good numbers. 1,183 yards, 8 touchdowns. Kind of a tale of two seasons for Stephon, and we'll show you that in a bit. Brew, do you think the Bills can contend without Stephon Diggs being the Stephon Diggs that we were used to his first couple years in Buffalo?
Contend, yes. Now, they're not my pick to win the AFC or even to be the second best team in the AFC, but contend, absolutely. Now, if Stephon's not going to be that guy, then somebody needs to step up.
Right.
Will it be Gabe Davis? Will they even keep Gabe Davis?
Right.
But he's obviously a deep threat. He could be a guy. Khalil Shakir, can he step up and go to another level? Had a really nice rookie year, some nice moments. They got two good tight ends. So, mate, you could even – Your focus of your offense as far as your passing game could be different where you go more with the tight ends.
Yeah, they spent a high draft pick on Kincaid last year. Yep.
They got two really good ones. Dawson Knox is there. Yep. Obviously, I think the run game is going to play more of a role for them. And remember when they won 6 out of 7 to end the season. That's including the playoff loss.
Yep.
Stephon was not a big part of it. And I'm not saying that's great, but he was not a big part of that. He had one game in those 7 where he caught more than 60 yards worth of passes.
Yeah.
No touchdowns. All right, so I think you either need Stephon to step up and be the old Stephon, or someone else needs to get close to that. But I do think they can contend because defense, run game, Josh Allen with his greatness, and then a more of a balance with the pass game than they showed at the end of the year.
So we can show the Diggs. It's a tale of two seasons for him. First nine games, it's going pretty well. The last 10, he's just a totally different player. Now, the Bills also, you know, their six-game winning streak is in that last 10. So I think people would think, oh, yeah, they can, you know, they contended last year over the second half without him being great. I don't think here, whether it's Stephon Diggs, a player they draft, someone they trade for, whomever, I think it's less about Diggs and it's more about this. For the Bills to be contenders, they need to have a top three passing attack because that is, in my opinion, their biggest strength. And I know people like, Nick, you're the biggest Josh Allen critic. I have been frustrated by Josh Allen being elevated to places I didn't think he deserved. Right. But what makes the Bills special, they have a good defense. They don't have a great defense. They have,
Especially, you know, they have good skill position guys.
They're not great. They have good offensive line. The one thing about that team that is special is their quarterback. And what they did over the second half of the year in putting a governor on him to try to protect them from him as far as the mistakes, I don't think they can contend that way. I think the way the Bills contend is they ask their quarterback, who's about to be 28 years old, Josh, I know it's tough. We need the good without the bad.
Now, well, they've probably been saying that for the last 2 years.
But that's the my point is, if they determine that can't happen, then they can't contend. They can't. Putting a governor on Josh Allen puts a ceiling on the Bills.
But think, look at how obviously they didn't get past the Chiefs.
Yep.
It was 3 points. And I thought Josh was – we differ. I thought he was excellent. Now, I know he didn't play as well at the end of the game.
Sure.
But what do you have, two rush touchdowns, one pass touchdown? Like, he was good. This may be – and I don't want to see his career dwindle prematurely, but this may be like a Cam Newton. Like, I think they're just going to have to go all out with him, and that includes running a lot.
Oh, see.
And he may not be a guy that plays at 39 or 40.
Well, that's
and I don't want him to go out like Cam where his body just broke down. Yeah. But that's a big part of his game.
Made it 2 seconds before Hubs had to just hit the music on me, say we're going too long. Coming up, trade rumors surrounding Jaylen Waddle. Tyreek says they're crazy. Next.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sticking in Miami, trade talks surrounding Jaylen Waddle starting to circulate. Tyreek Hill not happy with him, or fans supporting those rumors, tweeting, "My boy Waddle is the future. He's better than I was at this point in his career. For people in this fan base to want to trade him is ludicrous. Him and Tua were special before me and will be special after I leave." Well, just to back up what Tyreek's saying a bit, complete list of guys, 1,000 yards in each of their first three seasons. Tyreek, not on that list. Now, his first year is more of a return man.
Yep.
Jaylen Waddle is, along with a bunch of other, you know, great players, potential Hall of Famers, you know, some of the greatest receivers ever on that list. Brew, your reaction to all of this?
Well, first is this, and I don't know if you heard different stories about Tyreek out of Kansas City in that locker room, but give me Tyreek as a teammate.
Oh, he's a hell of a teammate.
I mean, the dude will go to bat for you. He is ride or die with his teammates. When he got there, he was telling everybody that would listen that Tua's better than Mahomes, even though we know that's ridiculous. And now Jaylen Waddle, and to be honest, what he said about Waddle is true. The dude is great. I don't know. You can argue whether or not he's better than Tyreek at this point. But he is just a phenomenal receiver. He's a number one. that's the number two because of Tyreek. And so I hear what he's saying. Now, the thing is this. We know they need to improve. Unless they want to see the breakdancers up here in Aqua and Orange again next year, they got to improve in a lot of spaces. So if they're already paying Tyreek big money. If that's a reason and they're going to improve significantly where they need to because they don't pay Waddle or they trade him, they can afford to do that because I think they've got enough talent elsewhere around Tyreek where they'll be all right and they need those improvements elsewhere. So I get that. You'd love to keep them both, but if you can't, I understand where they're
going. Well, and listen, the fact of the matter for Miami is some very, very difficult decisions are coming.
Mm-hmm.
And it's why not being able – it'd be one thing if it's just, they came close but didn't win the Super Bowl this year. But for their season to end the way it did where they
and
don't even
don't
win
you think
the division,
they're not close?
No, I don't think they are close, which is why I think simply – Tyreek, you're locked into him for the next 2 years. 2 years from now, they're in a weird spot. He has a salary of $45 million in 3 years, so they'd have to rework it slash year of his deal. And then Waddle's going to get a bunch of money. And then you have this from our friends at SpotRack saying, oh, here's what they think Tua's going to sign for this summer. This summer, Tua Tagovailoa, for 4 years, $220. Now, I know what you're going to say, Brew. You would like if Tua would take less. But
He ain't taking less.
I think that would be, by the way, insane for Miami. I would not give Tua a contract extension at all. I'd want to see him on his fifth-year option. Well, he's this
year, fifth year,
and then franchise
okay,
if I need to.
I'm there.
That's what I would do. But because they're probably going to re-sign him, and because they have signed Tyreek, and they traded for Tyreek, the smart move would be see if someone is willing to give them for Waddle similar to what they gave up for Tyreek. They gave up for Tyreek the 29th pick, the 50th pick, and then 2/4 and a 6th. So here's what I'm saying. I'm just making it up. But should they call Kansas City and say, hey, will you give us the equivalent for Jalen Waddle, what we gave you for Tyreek Hill? No, Kansas City wouldn't do that, and Waddle isn't Tyreek.
They wouldn't do that?
Not that many picks.
But then they got to pay. Because Waddle would look good in the red.
But by the way, I wouldn't mind paying Waddle because he's so young.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I wonder, does Miami do that, though? They're strengthening
I brought up the Chiefs, but there's a lot of teams.
Right.
My point is, I think the prudent move for the Miami Dolphins is to try to upgrade the defense by trading out some of the offense. Because they had an offense good enough to score 70 last year, and the defense was holding them back at the end of the season. And then, obviously, the offense stalled out as well. So, Tyreek can say they're ludicrous. I think it's a legitimate conversation.
And Tua, I'm with you, fifth-year franchise.
Yes. Can anyone steal MVP from Nikola Jokic, who I've always supported? Next. Updated MVP odds coming out. Nikola Jokic, who I famously believed in before anyone, called Jordan-esque per Sports Illustrated, is favored at -125. He's averaging 26, 12, and 9, followed by SGA, Luka, then Giannis, then quite a gap to Tatum at fifth. Brew, who is most likely to steal the MVP from Nikola Jokic?
I'm going to surprise you.
Okay.
And I've got reasons why I'm not saying this guy, that guy, that guy. I won't go there because I don't know what your pick is. But I'm going to go with Jason Tatum.
Oh, wow.
Now, I think Luka, and I'm a voter, not Luka, Jokic is the front runner.
Yep.
And it's weird because the 26 points in today's NBA doesn't seem like a ton. Now, he's 14th in the league in scoring. Yeah. But 26 points, 12 boards, 9 assists, 58% shooting. But I think he's the front runner. But after him, I think Tatum should be higher. I don't know that he should be second, but I think he should be higher on that list. Now, here's the thing, and we talked about it a bit earlier. All you heard this week at All-Star Weekend was Tatum talking about being the MVP or why he doesn't get enough love. It reminds me of Joel Embiid a year ago.
Oh.
Like, Embiid was all but begging for the MVP award. And I'm telling you, I do believe Jason Tatum, he wasn't begging, but all this talk, and now it's really out there. Like, why isn't Jason Tatum being talked about as an MVP? Why isn't he in the conversation? I think that's going to put him in the conversation. They have the best record by a mile. They're on pace to win 64. Let's say they win 65, 66 games. Now, that's hard to deny. He's clearly their best player, 27, 8, and 5, and he's leading them in the points, yep, rebounds, and assists. So I think that with all the chatter kind of putting him in the discussion now, and then they're having the best record by a good margin, and then his numbers and him leading them in so many categories, I think he's going to rise in the rankings. Now, I still think Jokic would win it over him, but I'm going to go with Tatum.
Okay, so the pushback I would have on the Tatum-Embiid comp is that Embiid had finished second back-to-back years before he ended up winning it.
Right.
Tatum, I looked it up yesterday when we were talking about this, has never even gotten one first-place vote. He has finished fourth and he has finished sixth, but there has never been one voter that was like he was the MVP, as opposed to Embiid, who a lot of those were, one of them was close, you know, and so I'm going to say Luka. And so Luka's season is, so I think it's less working than you think. So Luka's season is bananas. He's 34-9-9. On 49 on efficiency, 49% from the field, 38% from three. The reason he is not higher is because of their seed, right?
Right, seven.
But they're only 4 games back of Denver. And so Jokic, whose numbers are not as good as Luka's, the gap is, I understand, Denver's third and the Mavs are 7, but it's only a 4-game gap. And the MVP the last 3 years has come from the third seed, the sixth seed, the third seed. So we had a stretch for like 7 out of 8 years, it was the one seed.
Right, right.
That has not.
When Denver was 6, you may not know, did they win 50?
When Denver was 6, no, I think they had 48 wins that year.
Okay. Because that's kind of been, other than Westbrook with the triple-double, that's kind of been a standard.
And then I want to throw out one, if you want to take a long shot bet, he's not on the graphic, he's 100-1. But I think he's got a better than 1 in 100 chance, and that's Jalen Brunson. If the Knicks climb, they don't have to get the one seed. They're not going to. But they were right there around the 2 seed until they lost 4 straight before the break. Especially with Julius Randle out now, potentially getting surgery. There's no other All Star on the team.
Right.
His numbers are excellent. He's efficient.
I think I would put Mitchell have a better chance than Brunson.
I think people look at the other Cavs better than the other Knicks.
They are.
And so I don't think Jalen Brunson's going to win it, but a long shot. But I think if the Mavs finish in the top 4, Luka's got a great
candidate. He's having a phenomenal year. But here's the thing right now. At this moment, there's a feeling like that team is underachieving. Yep. And I think they are. And you're not going to win MVP if that's the case.
Coming up, the most motivational segment in all of sports TV.
Already.
It's the bud list. No, Wild Time. I can have a letter.
No, you got to get a letter, man.
Well, I got to run to the post office. Live from New York, it's the show that, even without our fearless leader, we don't do that at 4 o'clock.
We don't do that for
No, we don't.
My bad.
We did pretty well. It's the 4 o'clock hour of First Things First. On today's show, changes in Milwaukee, including hiring Doc Rivers and also Giannis handing the keys to Dame. Later, we do something literally no show that isn't based in New England has ever done without Kevin Wildes hosting it. We discuss Mac Jones. But first, it's time now for the most motivational segment in sports television. It's the Bud List. And Wildes isn't here to get the mail, so I had to run in during the break to grab it, and I got the mail. And oddly, it's addressed to me, which is, I'm not sure how they knew that I would be the one reading it today. Oh, there's the letter reading music. So here we go. Dear Mr. Wright, Ryan and Brian here. We just watched the first hour of First Things First. The mail's fast. And noticed that Kevin, the bad boy Wildes, was missing. I would assume he has taken some much needed vacation. Just wondering if he has sent any pictures from the road. Best regards, the aforementioned Ryan and Brian. So it's so funny you ask, because Kevin Wildes is on the road. He is, taking a cowboy-themed vacation. There he is, visiting the world's largest pair of cowboy boots. After something like that, you got to stop by the Big Texan Steak Ranch for a good meal. And then find your, lodging. He's going by himself. This was Wilds and Brew went last summer together. So those are pictures.
Where is Wilds' pot belly?
What?
I've got a pot belly, but Wilds doesn't.
You know, I'm not in charge of the pictures. I'm not sure. Brew the buttons.
I cry foul. All right, here we go. I need some motivation after that. This one is highly motivational. All three, no indictments.
Okay.
Just motivation. All right, so let's start with Luka Doncic, as you see. Luka, just like I called Patrick Mahomes Jordan-esque, the first to ever do it, now it's stuck to him. I was the first to call you, I believe this, Nick, the first to call you Luka Legend.
That one is true.
Luka Legend, right? In tribute, he's the new age Larry Bird. Yes, he's a new age version of Larry Bird with one difference, at least so far. Larry used to win. All right, Larry. Now, and you can't say, oh, yeah, he was with Boston. Well, Boston, they won 29 games the year before Bird got there. And 61 his rookie year with essentially the same team. And then his second year, he won a championship. By year six, or in his sixth year, completing his sixth year, he had two of his three championships. All right, and three trips to the NBA Finals. Luka, you are now in your sixth year. Got to a conference final, but really not near a championship. So, Luka, I am calling on you. You're the seventh seed right now. You're better than this. Nick said you could win the MVP. I believe it too, but not as a seventh seed. That's not when people feel like you're underachieving. All I'm asking, I know you don't have the best roster in the league, but you got to get up to that fifth or sixth seed. By the time the playoffs start, get to the fifth or sixth seed, make a deep run in the playoffs. Even if it ends in the second round, you got to be in the hunt. It's got to be like a tough six, maybe seven games, and you get ousted by a team that could win the championship. We could live with that. All right, so Luka, here's the last thing I'll say, Luka. I love your game, but learn how to move without the ball.
Sure.
Learn how to get off the ball, maybe set some screens, you know, talk on defense. You're not going to be a great defender. We get it. But Luka's got to add some things, too. So I think he should be working on that, too.
So a couple things on Luka before we move on the Bud list. One thing, to be fair to Luka, in reference to Larry Bird stuff, you're right about how great Larry was instantly. But Luka in year six is not that much older than Larry was in year two.
Larry was like 22, I think, when he entered the league.
Exactly. And so Luka, and Luka's, we assume, going to play far longer than Larry did. Here's my concern for the Mavs as a whole. We know the way they're built, especially with Luka and Kyrie. They're not going to ever be a great defensive team. Right at the break, they were like 19th in defensive rating. I think they would happily take if they could somehow be right around league average, right around 15. The problem is they're only 11th in offensive rating. The only way this thing is going to work is if the second half of the year, the last third of the year, really, this is a top five offense. With those two guys, it's got to be.
And Kyrie's missed 22 games.
Right.
So if he's healthy, that's a big deal.
It's got to be a great offense. And I think Luka has proven that if the Mavs are locked into, for example, the sixth seed, I don't know if that's going to happen, but say in the final week of the year, I think you would have teams trying to dodge them. I think you would have teams saying we would rather play a lot of the teams we could rather than have to face that guy in a playoff series, because even in the playoff series he's lost. He's been such a killer. All right.
Yeah, they're not, honestly, they, as great as Kyrie is, I think they were better before that trade. I think as we've seen now him with 30-something games,
I think so too.
And yeah, so they got some work to do. A lot of people around the league, they compare Luka to James Harden. It's a compliment because Harden's great, but you know what I mean? Like,
except
ball dominant, you're not
going
to win it.
Yeah.
Well, like the one-man show, that type of offense. All right, at number two, we're going to go to the NFL. Justin Fields. Justin, I get it. I get it. Justin Fields, he's saying, Caleb Williams? Caleb Williams? I was Caleb Williams. That's what he's saying. All right, he's saying Caleb, sophomore year, threw for 42 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. I threw for 41 touchdowns, 3 interceptions my sophomore year. Caleb had a career passer rating in college, 169. Mine was 179. I was Caleb Williams, so what are we talking about? All right, then he's saying I've had two head coaches in my 3 years in Chicago. I've had two offensive coordinators in my 3 years in Chicago. And I'm the problem? I get it, Justin. Here's the thing, though. You got to be mature about this. All right? And scrubbing the Bears off your Instagram is not really being mature. Even if I buy, I'm not saying I do, but even if you buy the excuse, Nick, of, you know, I just didn't want them on my timeline, yeah. Which might be, I get it. You don't want to see all this stuff about you and them cutting you or moving on or whatever. But it's still not a good look. And you should know by now that it's going to be taken the wrong way, even if you meant it differently. So what I'd say, Justin, is look at the bright side. That's what I'm trying to motivate you. If you get traded, then you are going to a team that absolutely wants you and a team that most likely has had a good quarterback since the 1940s,
yes,
when Sid Luckman played, and a team that will build around you. If they trade for you, Justin, they're saying, okay, we're going to build around this guy's strength. So it could be a good situation for him, Nick, if he ends up somewhere. So look at the bright side, Justin. I do believe in you.
And I like Justin, but I don't feel like Justin Fields is being done wrong. He's had 3 years, two and a half as the starter. I know he's missed time. He's never thrown for 2,600 yards. He's never thrown for 20 touchdowns. In his career, he's at 40 touchdowns, 30 picks. You want to bring in but he has 14 rushing touchdowns.
Most of the highlights are rushing.
Yes, but he also has 16 fumbles to go along with the 14 rushing touchdowns. So I'm not writing him off, but I do not think it is the Bears doing him dirty for wanting to draft Caleb Williams. They passed on drafting a quarterback number one last year to give you another year. It was another kind of fits and stops year. So I understand it. Go ahead.
Now you like the, because you broached, I don't know if it was you that threw it out yesterday, about maybe keeping him. I don't think that could work. He'd have to be a good soldier, I guess. But
I think there's an argument to be made that you draft Caleb, you keep Justin and you play Justin. That you do. Tell Caleb. People say you're Patrick Mahomes 2.0. We're gonna do what they do with Patrick Mahomes and tell Justin, hey man, this is the biggest moment of your career. You know what I mean? You can improve your stock and get a big contract from whoever's gonna trade for you. But nobody thinks they're gonna do that other than me.
That's asking a lot of those guys to be mature at a young age. But anyway, all right. At number one. The aforementioned Caleb Williams.
There you go.
All right, Caleb, everybody loves you. Everybody loves Caleb. I love you. Nick, there's a big debate on this show. Does Nick think Caleb might be better than Mahomes?
No.
He says you're Patrick Mahomes 2.0.
Yeah.
I looked it up. 2.0 means a better version. Now, he's going to say something differently,
GPT
but I don't know. I'm not sure. All right, but here's the thing. Everybody loves Trevor Lawrence. And jury's still out, in all seriousness. But right now, we don't know if he's going to be great. We don't know if he's going to be a superstar. Other guys, number one, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, Jameis Winston. All right, so my point is this, Caleb. Even if you are drafted number one, which seems likely, and I think that's a smart thing for the Bears to do, you are still going to have to work incredibly hard to live up to your promise. All right, and here's the thing, too. Even though the Bears are not a great organization and there's obviously been some chatter about you not wanting to go there, there won't be any excuses, Nick. Like, Joe Burrow going to Cincinnati, which was a place people thought he shouldn't go, a cheap franchise, at least at that point, he turned him around immediately. C.J. Stroud goes to Houston, which had been an embarrassment to the league for the last 5 years or so. He turned him around immediately. So now when you go to Chicago, I personally am not expecting you to necessarily be C.J. Stroud right away, but there will be those expectations that he is great right away. So I would say this lastly, Caleb. In the NFL, the mind is just as important as the body at that quarterback position. You got to be just as mentally strong as you are physically strong. The study habits are just as important as how far you can throw the football, how fast your legs can move. I do believe in you, Caleb, but it's going to be a lot of hard work.
So I just want to kind of defend number one overall picks for a moment on this before I add someone to the bud list. We had a stretch where teams just whiffed on it all the time. Tim Couch was the wrong pick. Alex Smith instead of Aaron Rodgers, that was the wrong pick. Jamarcus went number one. Now, Jamarcus, there was actually no good quarterbacks as we now know in that draft, but still. But since then, almost every time, teams have taken the right quarterback, even if they haven't turned into a star. In 2009, it was Matt Stafford who went number one. That was the right pick. In 2010, Sam Bradford went number one. Maybe he wasn't the player you'd hope he would be. The next quarterback taken was Tebow. 2011 was Cam Newton. And it was either Blaine Gabbert or Jake Locker.
That's right.
2012, Luck. Jameis, 2015, the other guy is Marcus Mariota. It was still the right, if you were going to, of the quarterbacks, he was the best
right.
one. 2016,
but people thought Jameis.
Of course. No, 2016 was Goff. Next was Wentz. Baker's the wrong one. You had Josh Allen, Lamar. Yeah. But then 2019, Kyler. The next guy was Daniel Jones, Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence. Last year, of course, is the exception. The point I'm making is, I understand the draft is something of a crapshoot.
Right.
Over the last 15 years, number one pick quarterback has usually been the right quarterback. I did mention Trevor, who no matter what you think of him, he is the right quarterback from that class. I'm going to add quickly Anthony Davis to the Bucks. Not just because you now can play without you're playing without LeBron tonight, should be able to maybe get a win even without him, only 5.5-point dog. But AD is having a sneaky, excellent, healthy year that no one seems to want to give him credit for because the Lakers as a whole are not performing at the level. While there's scrutiny on LeBron all the time, scrutiny on Darvin Ham, Anthony Davis, maybe quietly, final third of the season, do what we've wanted him to do for 3 years, take the baton from LeBron and lead the Lakers down the stretch. I'm not saying I'm predicting it. I'm saying I think it's something interesting to watch for the last half of the season.
And I'm not saying they haven't been doing this, but everybody in that organization, Darvin, LeBron, the other teammates, they should be pushing him. Rich Paul, his agent, they should be pushing him
to do this.
You're right. And I know they've talked to him about it. They said it in subtle ways, but like say it bluntly.
Yes.
Like, dude, you need to take over so LeBron doesn't have to kill himself over the next 30 games.
Say to Anthony Davis what Giannis is saying to Dame. It's your team, buddy. It's all
That's your team.
Does Milwaukee belong to Dame now? That next. Oh, I can't believe you guys didn't invite me. The big Texan looks great.
That was good.
All right, so despite some lulls in Milwaukee, the Bucks do have the fourth best odds, pardon me, for the title coming out of the All-Star break. Giannis, hoping to get it done again in Milwaukee, this time alongside Damian Lillard, who he thinks is now the face of the franchise. Here's what he said. I ride with Dame. Like I've been saying this over and over again, this is his team. Down the stretch, he's going to get the ball. There's nothing else that we will do. I don't know how else to put it. I don't know what else to say. But at the end of the day, he has to believe it too. Brew, your reaction.
I know what to say.
What?
I don't like it.
Okay.
I don't like it. Look, I get wanting to make Dame feel at home and comfortable. And if you want to say this is our team, okay. If you want to say Dame's our closer, he's one of the greatest shooters. He's one of the greatest clutch shooters. That's fine. But his team? You're the guy. You're the best player on the team. You're the guy that's won two MVPs. You're the guy that's won a championship. You're the guy that's been in Milwaukee his whole career. This has gone too far. This is way overboard. I mean, I'm not saying it's the end of the world. But the skeptics would say, okay, one, is he setting up an excuse? Like, people accusing Doc of putting out pre-excuses for when they get beat in the second round, right? Like, is he putting out a pre-excuse? Is Dame's team. Everything changed when Dame here. Is his team. Or is he saying he doesn't want the pressure of leading a team, you know, with all these expectations?
So why do you think he's saying?
I think he's trying to be nice. I think Dame clearly is their closer. Even though it might be Middleton here or there, you know, but Dame's a closer, and maybe that's what he meant. But I think he's trying to just be nice, but I just think it's gone too far, and it makes you – we've seen him as the alpha, obviously Giannis. But it makes you feel like, dude, does he not want – like, why are you giving this team up?
So
LeBron wasn't going to give up his team – until he was, you know, past his prime.
And he still really has.
Right. I mean, LeBron was nice. You remember his rookie year. He came as his Ricky Davis.
Okay, well, that's different. And when LeBron, when the best player on a team defers, it's usually not good.
Thank you. So you agree with me?
Oh, I agree with you.
Okay.
I'm trying to understand why Giannis is saying it. Because Giannis doesn't think Dame's better than him. Giannis doesn't think anybody's better than him, which he shouldn't.
Right.
Giannis legitimately might be the best player in the world. And if you are the ninth best player in the world, legitimately, you probably should think you're the best. So, you know what I mean? When you actually might be, and at worst, you're third. So I'm trying to figure out why he's saying, because here's the thing. Giannis just keeps saying weird stuff, and I can't quite figure it out. So, and Wilds pointed it out yesterday, the end of season press conference was weird, but I almost wrote it off in that, man, guys right after their season ends and they have to talk, we have a lot of instances of weird quotes. LeBron's like, hey, I'm still Richard LeBron, and you're still whack.
He was right.
That press conference was a tough moment. Like, things are raw, whatever. But then it was, he also, we didn't even talk about it on the show. The other day, he was like, man, I've had four coaches in 6 months. Stuff's hard. It's like, buddy, we all kind of know. Like, you had a hand in at least some of those coaching changes. And then the other quote that, you know, he talked about, you know, I love Drew, I miss Drew, but now Dame. And now this part of it, I feel like Giannis is attempting to be the vocal leader. And I don't know that necessarily that is something that is coming easy to him right now. He's attempting to message things that that he's just maybe not, doesn't have the firmest grasp on. Because I agree with you. I think his heart is in the right place. I think he thinks this is what is going to lead to the most winning. But it is such an odd thing to hear a player of his caliber in his athletic prime talking about a player who's never been in quite that caliber, who is on the downside. Like, not like Dame is plummeting, but
he's not having a great year by his standards.
Correct.
His scoring, which you expect the scoring to be down, but it's from 32 to 24.
Yeah.
But field goal percentage, 3-point percentage,
he's
are way
smaller,
down.
He's a smaller, aging player, so it's what you expect.
So maybe, I think, like I said, Giannis is trying to make him feel good. Maybe this will give him a boost for the second half of the season. But all the things you said combined with this, if you put them together, there's no failure in sports. Yeah. We've had four coaches in six months. Yeah. Now this is not my team, it's his. That is stuff where it's like, I don't want this pressure that LeBron James has to play on every single game. I don't want this pressure that Anthony Davis had. I don't want this pressure of, like, championship or bust, baby. Like, no, nobody's just – we're not getting excited about your 30-12 during the regular season anymore.
Yeah,
it feels like he's saying
it's
that.
It's a weird thing, though, because he's already won the title. So he's kind of, you know –
but he's but he's got his ring.
We'll talk Mac Jones next for reasons I don't understand. We have a podcast. I think it's pretty good. And, in fact, you know, when I think about it, Brew, we have a show podcast. We do this show together. I do my own podcast, What's Right. You do the radio show, The Odd Couple. And Wilds does nothing and leaves early for vacation. Subscribe to the podcast on YouTube channel. Medals time. Here is the standings up to the All-Star break in the medals. What jumps out to me is, man, Joel Embiid was running away with this thing, particularly in gold medals, before the injury.
Yep.
And it also strikes me as it's pretty fair representation of who've had great years. Maybe a little LeBron bias on there, I'm not sure. But there's the medal, I guess the medal standings from the first half of the NBA season. All right, before we go, the Patriots, they're a football team that played in New England, used to be pretty relevant. We still talk about them. They have an offensive coordinator named Alex Van Pelt, pardon me. He addressed the quarterback situation and Mac Jones' status. Take a listen.
You mentioned that you had a chance to meet Mac Jones. Can you envision him being this team's starter next season?
Right, you know, really right now, everything is on the table.
Okay, so, Brew, what I'm supposed to ask you is this. Do you believe that Wilds is not the only one who believes in Mac Jones?
No.
No.
He's the only.
He's the exactly right.
Alex Van Pelt has no other choice but to say what he just said. Because right now it's Mac Jones and Bailey Zappi.
And Nathan O'Rourke, who, according to our friends at Our Lads, O'Rourke's ahead of Mac on the depth chart. There has never been a team more guaranteed to be drafting a quarterback third overall than the Patriots are this season. What I am interested in regards to Mac Jones is this. Is there a team out there willing to give New England? Think about what the Cowboys gave up for Trey Lance. Fourth round pick. Like, I know Mac's been awful, but Mac also has 1 year of decent tape.
Yeah.
Trey had barely anything. Is there a team out there that would be willing to bring in, like the Niners, for instance, if they lose Sam Darnold in free agency, like bring in Mac, you know what I mean, cheaply?
I think there should be a team that brings him in. Yeah.
As a
backup.
Yes, and would they give up a draft pick for it? Maybe. All right, we are dark tomorrow and off all of next week. We'll see you guys March 4th with the whole crew back.